For my message tonight, I will read Psalm 13 in its entirety. Psalm 13. The Word of God says the following: How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. David wrote this psalm, and it seems it comes from his experience when he was running away from Saul, from King Saul, and he was trying to hide. And this particular experience is the time he was hiding in the cave, and Saul was right at the mouth of the cave, and he was resting there. And he seems there's no way for him to get away again. He kept on getting away from Saul. Saul kept on chasing him, and in this moment he says, How long, O Lord? Now it seems that he finally caught with me. How long can I get away? How long will he chase me? And in this psalm, the first two verses, he mentions this expression, how long, four times. And that's going to be the title of my message, How Long, O Lord? How long? You might be going through the same situation, and you're asking in your heart, how long, O Lord? How long? How long will this pain last? And Brother Arpi was mentioning before prayer that there are people who are praying for years. How long will this pain last? How long will this suffering last? How long will this sickness last? How long this grief and sadness? We're losing people left and right. How long will my problems persist? Or maybe you're asking yourself, how long will my kids be rebellious? How long will my wife or my husband ignore me? Or you might be in a situation and think about, how long until I find somebody and get married? How long, O Lord? How long? And this psalm reminds me of a poem that was written a long time ago in 16th century, The Dark Night of the Soul, written by St. John of the Cross. And he seems to have been going through the same experiences that David went, and he describes those painful experiences as we try to get closer to God, as we're maturing and going through different trials in our lives, we're asking ourselves, how long will this last? How long will I have to endure this? Because during this dark night of your soul, during this dark night of my soul or David's soul in this situation, if you look in these verses, you see that in first part of verse 1, he says, have you forgotten me? We feel that God forgot about us. He also seems that God has hidden his face from him in the second part of this, of the first verse. We feel that God is far away. He's no longer with us. He's no longer listening to our prayers. And we're left alone. And when you're alone with your own thoughts, in verse 2, the first part, he says, I'm struggling with my thoughts. I don't know what's going on in my head. I don't know how to control these thoughts. I'm struggling with sorrow every day in the second part. And then it seems that even people around you seem to be against you. Your enemy, my enemy, saying, is gaining against me. He's getting closer to me. And when we're in this dark night of the soul, we feel alone. We feel far from God. We feel isolated. But it's good to remember, just like David, remember in verse 3, he says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. He cries out to God in the middle of trouble, in the middle of the darkest night in your life, the darkest night in your life. Remember to turn to God. Remember to cry out to God. And there's four things that I want to go over that we should do when you feel down, when you feel that you're in the darkest night of your life, when your soul is troubled. there's four things that you should do that David was doing in this psalm. First, keep on praying. Even though God might seem far, far away, keep on praying. If you look at the whole psalm, and I'm going to reread it again, it's a prayer that David directs towards God. He says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, 'I have prevailed against him.' Let those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I'm moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." I don't know for how long you have been praying. You might have been praying for days. You might have been praying for months, for years. And we all heard of testimonies of people praying for decades for their loved ones to turn to God, for decades asking God to intervene. And whatever it is, I know I'm praying. There are things I'm praying for. For years I've been praying for them. There are some things I've been praying for the last 10 years. And I'm still waiting for God to answer. But what I will do in this dark night of the soul, I will keep on praying. And that's what you should do as well. The second thing you should do in the dark night of your soul is keep on trusting God. In the first part of verse 5, he says, "But I trust in your unfailing love." It's very easy to trust God when everything is fine, when all things go according to your plans, when you feel good, when you're healthy, when you have a job. But when you're in the middle of trial, we're in the middle of fire, that's when it's very hard. If you remember last time I was here, I preached about the disciples in the storm. And they were so fearful, they were afraid they're going to die. And that's where they failed the test, because Jesus Christ asked them, "How come you have so little faith? I'm with you." So in the middle of fire, in the middle of problems, in the midst of trial, keep on trusting God. Be like the three young men in the fiery furnace in Daniel 3, 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand." And this is the hard part. "But even if he does not, even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." This is trusting God in the darkness night of your life. You're about to be thrown into the fire. You know what's going to happen. But keep trusting God. You keep on praying and keep on trusting God. And then there's the third thing that you should do in the darkness, the dark night of your soul. Keep on rejoicing. Verse 5, part B says, "My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." Another translation says, "I'm celebrating your rescue." I'm celebrating your rescue. You're in the furnace. You're in the middle of trial, and you're already celebrating God's rescuing you. That's how you rejoice. Remember, we're not people that enjoy pain. You know, I'm going to celebrate that I'm in pain, that I'm in trouble. No, I'm celebrating because God is with me in trouble. I'm celebrating because God already will rescue me. I'm celebrating his salvation. And how do we rejoice? We rejoice like Paul says in Corinthians 15, 55. "Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting?" Remember, brothers and sisters, remember, church, victory is already won. Christ won on the Calvary for us. Why stress out over something that we cannot do anything about. Already has been done. Victory is ours. Let us rejoice in that. Let us rejoice that Christ won victory for us. As Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Victory has been won. Why stress out? And that's where we fail as humans. We try to solve problems ourselves. Instead of rejoicing that God is with us. Instead of trusting Him that He's going to solve all our problems. And anticipate what God is going to do. Let's go to Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Lift your heads, you gates. Rise up, ancient doors. Then the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Rise up, ancient doors. Then the King of glory will come. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Who is this King of glory for you, Emmanuel, tonight? Is it Christ? Are you ready to say, are you ready to lift up your heads and say, I rejoice in this. I rejoice in your rescue. I already acquired your rescue. In the dark night of your soul, keep on praying. Keep on trusting God. Keep on rejoicing. And the last thing that David did, he kept on worshiping. In verse 6, part A says, I will sing to the Lord. And the last part says, because he dealt bountifully with me. When you worship, when you come before God and sing his praises, that's when you realize what he has done for you. That's when you're face to face with God and you realize you get the right perspective in your problems. The same perspective that Job had in Job 1:21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will live this life. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Praise the name of Yahweh. That was Job's perspective. Whatever comes, whatever I have from him. Whatever was taken by him. But I will still praise him. I will still glorify your name, because you're the Lord of hosts. In the dark night of your soul, as you're wondering, how long, O Lord, how long? Do you have the right perspective? Do you still see God on the throne? Are you persevering in prayer? Are you keeping your faith in the midst of fire? Are you keeping your faith in the midst of storms? Are you rejoicing about a victory that's already won? Are you praising God for who He is? That's the question for us, church. That's the question for me. That's the question for you. Now I would like to leave you with a story. This is a story that I think you might have heard before. It's like a pretty common story. And there is a story about a Sunday class. Not Sunday school, but Sunday Bible study in a church. And people were asked, in time of discouragement, what is your favorite scripture? Where do you find strength? Where do you go in times of trouble? And a young man said, I find strength in Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A middle-aged woman said, I found strength in Psalm 46:1. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Another woman said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. That's in John 16:33-35. Then Mr. John, an old man of 80 years old, with a white head of hair, with dark black skin, stood up and said, with as much strength as he could, said, and it came to pass 85 times in the Bible. The class started to laugh a little, thinking that, you know, at 80 years old, he was losing his memory. Maybe he was getting a little senile. But when everything stopped, he said, at 30, I lost my job with 6 hungry mouths and a wife to feed. I didn't know how I would make it. At 40, my eldest son was killed overseas in the war. It knocked me down. At 50, my house burned to the ground. Nothing was saved out of the house. At 60, my wife of 40 years got cancer. It also slowly ate away at her. We cried together many a night on our knees in prayer. At 65, she died. I still miss her today. The agony I went through in each of these situations was unbelievable. I wonder where was God. But each time I looked in the Bible, I saw one of these 85 verses that said, and it came to pass. I felt that God was telling me my pain, my circumstances, my troubles were also going to pass, and that God would get me through it. My challenge tonight, my challenge for you, church, tonight is to change your perspective, to change your attitude. Go from how long, O Lord, to, and it came to pass. Keep on praying, keep on trusting, keep on rejoicing, and keep on worshiping. May God help us all. Amen.